Okay, Boker Tov all. Today's daf in Masechet Nazir, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Chav Beit. And we've gone ahead a little bit on Chav Beit. Admittedly, I wasn't such a good boy yesterday. But I think it's important for us to get a grasp of this sugya more holistically. It's extremely complex because it's bringing together all types of subtle distinctions between the various sugyas that we've had. So, deceptively simple, the Gemara asked yesterday, as if we've never thought about it before. I love the way they do this, you know. Like, we've been talking about this for months. But all right. The question is, let's investigate whether a Baal is Mi'akir Akar or a Baal is Megis Gaius. So as we mentioned yesterday, initially we took that rather naively to mean that the question that we want to know is the netter simply canceled from this point forward, or does what it is that the Baal achieves with the Hafara is that he is actually oiker the netter from the beginning in the same way that a Chacham would be oiker a netter. So we said, look, well, let's take a very simple difference between the two shitas. It would be whether if another woman made herself dependent by being matvis, and she says va'ani to the statement of this woman, and now that woman's husband comes and is mefer, does the va'ani still have meaning? Because the Baal only affected the netter from the point in which he was mefer. So that means that the other woman who said va'ani actually had been matfisa to the netter at that time, because it still existed back then. It's only from this point forward. Or in the event that the Baal with his hafara actually uprooted the netter, then the other woman would also be affected by that uprooting. Now, that was an assumption that we took for granted, that that is definitely going to be a difference between these two approaches. So taking that simplistic assumption, we started bringing a lot of rayas from things that we had discussed earlier and had taken for granted, and sometimes I didn't even take it for granted, but it actually discussed it openly. For instance, the question of whether if a woman was Mezira herself, and the husband said Va'ani, so the question is, the Mishnah says that he cannot be Mefer, and we took for granted that the reason that he cannot be Mefer is because in doing that, he would be undoing his own Neder. So then that must mean that he's uprooting the Neder from the beginning, and his Va'ani would not be effective. In which case, in the case that we were asking, when a friend says Va'ani, neither would her Va'ani be effective, right? So that proves that the Baal certainly is Mi'akir Akar, goes back in time, uproots the netter, and therefore, since he can't uproot his own netter, he has no way of uprooting her netter, because it would, by definition, uproot his. The Gemara said that doesn't prove anything. Maybe the fact is that he really is not prevented from the hafara because he's uprooting his own netter. Maybe the reality is that in saying Va'ani, he was simply Mikayim her netter. And once a Baal is Mikayim the netter, he can't be made for the netter. The difference would be that in the event that he would actually go to a Chacham and said, I made a mistake and I'm sorry, I was Mikayim my wife's netter, and then the Chacham said, okay, we'll be matir the kiyum, so then he could go back and be mefer, and it wouldn't affect his netter at all. In which case, if the friend had said Va'ani, if he went back, it wouldn't affect the friend's Va'ani at all. So therefore, as we had already discussed earlier, the Mishnah's halacha that you cannot, a Baal cannot go and be made for his wife's netter after he was matvis in the netter, doesn't prove anything, because there are two possibilities. One is that he can't be matvis simply because, having said Va'ani, we said this is similar to me too, and that it's an act of support, not simply a language issue, and that in having supported his wife's netter in the first place, he can't change his mind unless he goes to a Chacham. So therefore, once you're Mekayim, you can't be Mefer. The alternative is that no, that's not the reason why, and we don't believe in Me Too, but the reason is because, in fact, he would be Eiker the Neder Meikara. So we can't bring a Raya from there. Okay, so we were left with no Raya. Remember, simply because it may be the equivalent of Hakam. Then we went to, I want to go over with you all of the variations because they become, in the end, holistically interrelated because of subtleties that end up being the differences between them. So we spoke about a woman who became a Nazira. She set aside her karbanas. The husband comes along in his Mayfair. And it says over there that if it was her own animals that she owned and her husband didn't have any shaykhs to, maybe somebody gave it to her, Amanasya, in Labalek Rishutba, that then the korban chatas has to be left to die. Now, in the event that a chacham would have been oiker the naziras from the beginning, the din is that the chatas would simply have reverted to being chulin. In this case, we say, no, the chatas has to be left to die. But why? Wasn't the baal oiker the neder? And therefore, for all intents and purposes, it's the same as if the chacham had been oiker the neder, and therefore there was no need for the chatas at all, and it should end up becoming chulin. Aha! This seems to prove that a baal does not oiker the neder the way that a chacham does. He simply cancels the neder from this point on, and because of that, from this point on, that means that the chatas, when it was made, a chatas was a perfectly good chatas. And what are you going to do with it now? You can't bring it now because the husband was already made fair. So therefore, it has to die. Maybe that's the pshat. Now, the Gemara yesterday gave a strange answer to that and said, well, maybe the baal is oiker. But nonetheless, since at the time that she did it, it was a chatas, now it's like a chatas shemesu baal leal. So we didn't understand what the heck is that supposed to mean. We had always assumed that if the baal is oiker, that's the same as the chacham. So how are you answering the question? If you're saying that the baal can still be oiker and the chatas remains kodesh, then you haven't addressed the issue that you raised originally, namely, that once a baal is oiker, the neder disappears. And therefore, there was no statement in the beginning of Hareini Nazira at all. So I don't understand what the distinction that you're making is. What do you mean, since she needed a kapara? She didn't need a kapara. So it's here that we meet, for the first time, the explanation of the Rosh that takes our original naive assumption that if a baal is mi'akir akar, that that becomes the full equivalent of a chacham's akira of the neder mi'ikar, right? And as the Rosh points out, that's not strictly true. Because the reason that the chatas has become chulin is because the initial creation of the chatas is viewed as a mistake. And the din is that hekdesh ta'ut is not hekdesh. So you made the chatas a chatas as a mistake. Now the question is, in the case where the baal was made for later, is it a mistake that she had set aside the chatas? There, says the Rosh, no. Because there's a big difference between being oker the neder through gzirat hakatuv that says that the husband has a mysterious ability to prevent that neder from having any legal implications upon her. And even that extends retroactively. It does not in any way mean that the original acceptance of the neder was in error. It wasn't in error. She said it. She meant it. She continues to mean it. She does not have any charata. And it's just that he overrides it. Now, wait a minute. There's a big difference between overriding something, even if you can override it retroactively, and saying that it never happened. So therefore, if we have a ta'ut when a chacham was matir and a zirut, so then indeed the korban was never a korban. You're saying, I'm making this a chatas. For what? You can make a chatas. What, are you trying to make an adova a chatas? You can't make a chatas. And therefore, the whole thing is a ta'ut. Oh, you thought you were chayav achatas? Well, you weren't chayav achatas. But in this case, when the woman went to make that chatas, she had made that neder. There's just something in the way that is overriding it. Well, you can't say that that's a mistake. And therefore, since at the time when she set it aside, the baal had not yet been made for, and she set it aside in good faith as pure hegdish, well, how would it become unhegdish? There's no mistake made. And therefore, it's a chatas shemesu baalea, so to shenischaper baalea, so to speak, and it becomes a chatas hamesa. That's how we have to understand it. All my good friends, Akiva has left me, Gabi has left me, I'm left to Barnea's tender mercies. Nah, you got scotch in there. Listen, I can't drink scotch tonight, but... Okay. So that was the first adjustment that we had after asking the question. Do you see what the Gemara is doing? Is that it's getting more and more into the subtleties of these distinctions. So then we try to get another solution from the fact that the Mishnah says later that we're going to have tomorrow, the Mishnah says that in the event that a woman had made a Nazirus and she was going around drinking wine and going to funerals and so on, that the halacha is that she gets Malkus. So, I mean, obviously, what else? Of course the halacha is that she gets Malkus. Ah, it must be that the Mishnah was saying even though the Baal had been made for her, she gets Malkus. Why? Why would she get Malkus if the Baal undoes it originally? So she shouldn't get Malkus. So how do you explain that? It must be that the Baal was Mayfair, and therefore we can prove from here that that Hafara does not go back retroactively, and it's only from the point forward of the Hafara that it's going to make any kind of difference, you see? And the answer to that, and that concluded yesterday's daf, the answer to that was that, look, you have to remember that there is a shita of Rabbi Yehuda. This is the way Tosis explained that answer. You have to remember that there is a shita of Rabbi Yehuda who holds that even though the husband had been made for, and as a matter of fact, even in the event that the husband was made for before she had gone ahead and she had drunk that wine and she had gone to the funerals, she would still get Malkus. Obviously, only a Malkus derabbanan. But the point is that because she felt that she was going and wantedly destroying her Nazirut, there's a din of Malkus. And the Mishnah was only coming to tell me that, of course, we know that if the husband wasn't made for it all, obviously she's going to have a Malkus. But what it wants to say is that if the husband was made for, that then she will not get Malkus. And that's coming to basically to tell me about the Seifa of the Mishnah. In the event that the Baal was made for and she didn't know, and she was Shosi Yain of Atamala Mesim, so there the Mishnah wants to tell us that according to the Tanakhama, she still doesn't get Malkus. And it's true that we could have said a bigger Kiddush, we could have said, well, even if she did that after the Baal was made for, that would also be true. But remember, we want to also tell us the Kiddush of Rabbi Yehuda, that even if the Baal had been made for first, and then she went ahead and drank, says Tosfos, that even then she would get Malkus Arbaim, although what she did was after the Hafara. So because of that, it mentions it in this fashion. So therefore, the Mishnah arranges things, whether the Baal was Mefer, the Baal wasn't Mefer, and it doesn't actually in any way tell you a Chiddush in the Reisha. The Reisha is not talking about the Baal having been Mefer. That was the end of Daf Chof Aleph. Now, that brings us to today's Daf, and despite the fact that we've already done today's Daf yesterday, the first Amud, being as we're going through all of the various ramifications and subtleties over here, let's just review it briefly again. All right, so Tashma. The next thing we did was we brought a Raya from a Braita. The Braita says that a woman was Noder Benezirut, and she became Tmiya. And then, this is a Braita, this is one of our famous Braitas, right? We were talking about this Braita before, and we had all kinds of interesting insights, but the husband went ahead and was mefer for her. It says she cannot bring her olata off, but she can bring her chatasa off. So remember, the way that we understood that was that it's going according to Rabbi Shmuel, Benosha, Rabbi Yochanan, and Broka. He holds that the korban oila is a fundamental part of the tira and the expression of the dinam of her nazirus, and therefore it's not a doron, it's not a gift, the way the Chachamim hold. And if she is not mechuyevet that ola, she can't bring that. Oh, remember, we're talking about ola sa'of. She cannot bring that ola sa'of because it's going to be put on the mizbeach. And so it appeared to us that if the Baal is only megis gaias, so then the tumah was actually mechayev her, because at the time she was really tmeah, and she was mechayev herself in a full korban of a nazira tmeah. And therefore, it must be that the Baal is me'akir okar. So you say, but what do you mean? If the Baal is me'akir okar, how can she bring the chatas? And we did our regular thing. We said it's going according to Rabbi Elazar Kafar Baribi, and he says, remember that it says, Me'asher chatal ha-nefesh, and aleze nefesh chatazeh. Ah, you see from here that if somebody deprives himself even just of wine, he's being chayte k'neged nafshei, and alach is kama v'kama, a no-goodnik who thinks he is serving the Lord by depriving himself of all of those yummy things is certainly a no-goodnik. Okay, and therefore, since we're talking about a chatas that is a moral chatas, and since we're talking about chatas ha'of, which is not put on the mizbeach, and therefore doesn't involve us in a problem of chulin ba'azara, and since a chatas ha'of like that can even be brought b'tzad ha'safek because of that, so basically, look, you're in sort of a pickle over here. She already made the chatas, and we don't have anything to do with it. So it's going to have to, what are we going to do, throw it out? So therefore, okay, Lamaisa, morally speaking, she was a bad girl who wasn't going to drink wine, and that's bad enough to bring a chatas, so it's not a real chatas. So we allow her to bring that chatas off based on that assumption. So what does this prove now? That shows us that the only way that you could possibly understand the question of the Baal's involvement in a hafara, in light of this braita, is to say that the truth is the Baal is mi'akir akar, and that's the only excuse we have for not bringing the korban oila. And the reason that we bring the chatas is because of Rabbi Elazar Kafar Baribi. So that was the first solid proof that we have that there is definitely, at least according to this braita, there's definitely a shita that holds that the Baal is mi'akir akar, and that's why she cannot bring her olata of, period. That's very important to remember. It turns out that the only way that we understood that braita, it's true, albeit we were only talking about according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Binogeya the Erla, but I mean, that's not a fundamental issue that we're talking about. That's a side point. And therefore, the only way we understood it was that if you strip away all of the other issues, like Rabbi Elazar Kafar Baribi, and like the question of whether the Erla Sa'of is a fundamental part or not a fundamental part, the bottom line is that this Bryce is making the assumption that if the Baal is Me'akir Akar, so then it's possible for us to say that there's no oila, but there is a chatas. Okay, but there is no way to figure it out if the Baal is only Megis Gaius, right? So we've got a proof from this Braita. Again, strip everything else away because it's not important to us. What's really important to us is that there seems to be this underlying assumption that if the Baal acted, then he acted in a way that prevented her from bringing her oila sa'of because he uprooted the neder in the first place. So we brought our first raya, that the Baal is mi'akir akar. Then the Gemara goes ahead yesterday, and we'll continue now reading it, even though we did it yesterday again, tashma. So let me prove to you from a beferish abraita that addresses the issue directly. Tashma, the Tanya behedya, ha'isha shenadra benazir. Here's the case. This is the case that we asked. Her friend says, va'ani. This was the case. Then the Baal comes along. This is the case that we raised, right? We said, that's going to be the Kool-Aid acid test. Is a Baal Megis Gaius or is he Mi'akir Akar? And he went, wow, we found a braisa that actually talks about that very case. And then the Baal of the woman who said Areni Nizira comes along and he is Mayfair. Here's the answer. She, the wife, is Mutarat, but nonetheless, the friend remains Asura. What do you see from there? Obviously that the husband could not have been Iker the Neder from the beginning, because then the friend would also have not been a Nazira. And we said that was the test. Well, here's the results of the test. We did an actual experiment, and the wife became Mutarat, and the Chavira remained Asura, which proves, finally, Shmamina Baal Megis Gaius. And therefore, this proves to us that it must be that the Baal is Megis Gaius. Phew. Okay, but note that what we just did is we just created a contradiction between two brises. We had originally proven that the Baal must be Mi'akir Akar because we had no other way of explaining why she cannot bring her Eilasa Oath in the event that she had become Tmei'ah. So it must be that the Baal is miyaker akar, and she never owed that Ola Sa'ov, and we're only bringing the Chata Sa'ov because of Rebbe Elazar HaKafar, right? And then we turn right around, and we bring a Beferish HaBraita that seems to be inarguable, in which it says that in the very case that we had set out as being the nafkamina between Baal Migas guys and Baal miyaker akar, the din would be, another woman had said, Va'ani, the husband said, not you, my honey bunch. Nonetheless, the second woman, not the wife, since she's not affected by the Baal's hafara, she remains in Nazira, which proves, l'chora, finally and absolutely, that the Baal is Megis Gaius. That's what we had arrived at yesterday, which leaves us with a serious contradiction. So how do you explain the fact that the other Braita said the opposite? Now, the correct girsa over here probably is indeed the way that the Bach changes the girsa and puts before the Shema Mina on the penultimate line of Chof Beis Omed Aleph, before the word Shema Mina, he puts in the words Rabbi Shimon Omer, Im Amra Lahareni Kimoteich Shteyem Mutarot. That if what she says was not va'ani, but instead she says, I will be whatever your status is. So then, if the status changes of the woman that the Baal was mefer, so then it, by definition, affects the second woman's neder, because she never said, I too want to be a neder, a nazir. She said, I want to be like you. Whatever you are, that's what I am. So that's where we left off yesterday. And that seems to leave us with a hanging problem. So the problem is we've got a contradiction in the Braitot, and the Gemara has not discussed that contradiction. And it turns out that today's continuation on Amud Beis, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, is actually the way that the Gemara is addressing that contradiction. But now this is a quite complex sugya because it involves us back in an issue that we spoke about in Nedarim. You remember the issue was somebody has a korban shlomim in front of him. He's got this basar shlomim in front of him. The basar shlomim that he is holding has already gone through zrika. It's already kosher to eat. And he brings another piece of meat, and he said, I want this piece of meat to be like this piece of meat. So it means he was taking a piece of chulin meat, and he was saying it should be a korban the way this meat is a korban, right? Now, the question that had been raised there as a dramatic question was, did he mean that I want this meat of chulin to be what this meat was defined as initially, meaning that it was meat that was usser, because it was the meat of a shlomim that had not as yet gone through zrika, and that was called, is he being matvis in the ikar, in the essence of what it was before we did anything to it, or is he being matvis this piece of meat to the current state of the meat in front of him, which is that it's heter, because even though it's still called a shlomim, but nonetheless, it's already gone through zrikas adam, and therefore it's meant to be kosher to be eaten by you or by anybody, because the din of a shlomim, of course, is that it's eaten in Yerushalayim, but anybody can eat it. It's not eaten only by kohanim, and it's not no longer, therefore, usher as a korban. So that was the question that was raised over there by Rami Bar Chama. Now, we need to see whether in some way our sugya relates to that sugya. And therefore, let us continue. But before we do, let's offer a possible explanation of why it is that the Gemara would not view these two prices as being contradictions. And this takes us more deeply into the subtleties of the difference between the case of the Baal's hafara, which we were talking about earlier, and the, even if he's me'akir akar, and the difference between that and the case in which an actual chacham was oker. Is there no choice but to say that we have a contradiction between the two brises? The brisa that said earlier that the din is Baal is certainly the Aker Oker, because there's no other explanation of why you cannot bring your Ola Sa'ov, and the brisa over here, which is saying that the truth is here Baal is Megas Gaias, because the other woman remains a Nazira. And if he had been Oker Lechatchila, she would not have remained a Nazira. So there's a number of issues that we need to talk about. It's possible, and this the Rosh suggests, it's possible that maybe the Baal is only Megis Gaias, and nonetheless, there is still a reason why she cannot bring her Oilas Ha'of. And that is that since in the Pasuk, remember we analyzed these Psukim very carefully, it says over there, V'chiper HaKohen, after it talks about bringing the Chatas and the Oila, before it talks about bringing the Shlamim, and it says over there that at that point, V'kidash, he should now start his Naziris again, Kidash et Rosh Nizro. Ask yourselves, is this woman ever going to restart her Naziris? The answer is no. Because since the Baal was made for, I don't care what point the Baal's hafara is chal, but if the Baal is made for, even if it's from this point forward, she will never redo that Nazirut. Because the cancellation of any of the implications, even from this point forward, of the original Nazirut, don't disappear on us, Dr. Barry. It looks like that bed is becoming very enticing. We need you here. So even though in this, yeah, we just want you to know that your presence is always noticed. So the idea is that she would nonetheless, despite the fact that she had made the neder, and despite the fact that she kept her Naziris, and despite the fact that she set aside her Korbanos, and despite the fact that the Baal would only be Megis Gaias from this point forward, the idea over here would still be that she would not bring her Korban Oila. Why? Because there was never going to be a restart. And if there's not a restart, then all of those words about V'chiper HaKohen and so on do not apply. Because we put together the kapara of the Kohen together with the words that follow. V'kidash et Rosh Nizro, kidash et Rosh Nizro. And that's not going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, that's a completely new reason for how it is that we would see the situation from the point of view of the Yischaivus of bringing the Oila. And there would be no chiv of the Oila. Okay. So it's possible that there isn't really necessarily a contradiction between these two. I also wanted, before we continue, to maybe think about another issue. Think it out. I don't present things out of order to you. Yeah, I think we can continue and then go to the further subtleties. Okay, so far we have one possible explanation for the contradiction between the two brises, one of which seems to be saying clearly that since v'shama chavrata v'yamra ani, that then she remains unaffected by the fact that the Baal of the woman had been mefer, that shows that the Baal is mefer, his guy is. And the other one that says that she doesn't bring an oil ha'saif in the event that she became tamea, which seems to show that the Baal is miyokar akher. So we've got one answer, which is the Rosh's answer. Now, the Gemara, according to the Rabbeinu Tam at this point, which the Rosh seems to favor, learns the shita that comes up as follows. We're now starting on Amud Beis. Mar Zutra, Berei Derev Mori Omar. Actually, what this is all about, Hai Hainu De Rami Bar Chama. This contradiction is actually bringing us into the issue that Rami Bar Chama raised. And I explained to you which Rami Bar Chama we're talking about. The boy Rami Bar Chama. We said that the meaning of this Gemara was back in the Dorim, Harei Alai Kipsar Zevach Shlamim, and he had a piece of Zevach Shlamim in front of him, which was La'achar Zrikas Damim, and he said, Zeh Kezeh, so he took a piece of chulin meat, and he related it to this, which seems to be a normal hatfasa, what would be the halacha? My question is, Ki matvis inish bi'ikara matvis? Does a person do a hatfasa in the original issue that created the Isser, which in this case would have said, essentially, I want this meat to be a korban. It's afterwards we did this because Adam, we were matir, but initially, the Iker problem over here was that this meat was a korban. So he's basically saying, I want this meat to be a korban, which is a classic neder through hatfasa to the din of korban, right? That's konam. Do we say that? Or instead of bi'ikara matvis, perhaps bitznana matvis. Maybe the person always refers to the cooled off state. Snana comes sort of tzina, the cooled off state. In other words, when something is it's an initial hot state before anything has settled down, so to speak. So we've got a lot of molecular activity, we call that hot. And after everything has settled down, we call that cold. So over here, where we've already, things have settled down, we did the Zrikas Adam, this meat has now become Basar Shlamim, which is Mutar after Zrikas Damim. So when the guy said, I want this meat to be like that meat, it means that it's actually not a neder, because currently this meat is not Aser. So therefore, we see from here that since the woman who said, I too am like you, remains unaffected by the fact that her friend is no longer a Nazira. That doesn't matter. The fact that your husband took off that neder is irrelevant, because I was talking about the original status of that neder. And the original status before the Baal was Me'aker was that there was such a neder. So the same thing is true over here. Currently, this woman is Muteret, and initially she had made a neder, and therefore this is exactly the Rami Bar Chama issue. Do we talk about what the status was initially, or do we talk about what the status was currently? And therefore, basically we don't have a contradiction if we're ready to understand that this is a function of Mar Zutra's idea. Now, there is here automatically an obvious problem which introduces a completely new point about the interrelationship of the Baal Mi'akar Akar and the Akira of a Chacham. And this requires some sensitivity to the subtlety of the issue. The Rabbeinu Tam understands the sugya, that as I've explained it, we are coming to address the contradiction between the two brises. One brisa that says that after the Baal was mi'aker, she was not chayevet in her oilas ha'of. Remember, he doesn't buy into the Rosh's answer that maybe you could say that that's only because of the technicality that she's not going to re-begin. That's not the reason. The reason is because the Baal, in fact, was Me'aker Akar. And everybody, according to Rav Zutra, everybody holds that the Baal is Akar. So then how do you explain the fact that if the Baal is Akar, how could the friend of the woman who said Va'ani, how could she still be a Nazira if the original woman who said Areni Nazira and she was Matfis or Lashon too, she herself was not a Nazira? The reason is, says the Rabbeinu Tam, that this is what the Gemara is saying, is that the Chaverta remains Asura because she was Matfisa like Rami Bar Choma says in the Iker. So just like the Shalomim at the time of the Neder, the Be'ikr HaNeder, was a Korban before it settled down and we did everything necessary, so too is her situation when she originally said, I am a Nazira, even though the Baal was made for afterwards, if you hold, like Rami Bar Choma's Tzad, to say that it was in the Iker, so just like the Shlomi was before Zerika, so too her friend was Matfisa in the Iker. And the Iker was that she said, I am a Nazira. Now, obviously, this is totally mad. Because if you hold the Baal is Iker, there was no Iker. What kind of crazy thing is this? Let's say that somebody had said, I want this meat to be like this meat. And this meat had turned out to be a toast in the Hekdesh, and it was never a Shlomim at all. Is there any tzad to say that he was going to, since the person, when he first said it should be a Shlomim, that since he meant it, so therefore now we're going to be Teifis in something that doesn't exist? So why, when the Baal went ahead and was Iker, can the other woman still say Va'ani to her statement, which no longer has any validity? After all, didn't we just have the Mishnah that if a guy says, I am a Nazir, and his friend says, me too, and then he goes and he shoel on that Neder, anyone from that point forward, whether it was the first guy, the middle guy, the whole that hell business that we just had at the beginning of the parak, the bottom line is that the moment that the chain is broken and a guy is not a Neder, why is he a Nazir? Why is he not a Nazir? Because he was shoel on his Naziras. That from that point on, anybody who said Va'ani didn't say anything because this guy wasn't a Nazir. So why in this case, if a friend of this woman said Va'ani, why is she yes a Nazira? Surely if she had gone to a Chacham who was Matir, her Naziras, the friend would not be a Nazira. That's a Beferish or Mishnah. There's nothing to discuss about that. So what in the world is the Rabbeinu Tam saying that the Gemara is claiming that if it was Be'ikra, so then there's no problem because then she's anyway a Nazira. And here is the same issue, but with greater subtlety. When a Chacham is Oiker the Neder, the fact that he's Oiker it by turning it into a Neder Ta'ut means this Neder did not exist at all. When a husband is Oiker, he does not change the fact that the Neder existed. He overrides the impact of that Neder, albeit Mikora. It never has any impact. Fine, it never has any impact. I who am being Matfisa, me, I am the friend of this woman, and I am saying me too. Did I say anything about impact? Did I say I am like you? No. I said your words, Hareini Nazira, are my words, Hareini Nazira. Were those words real words? Yes. Were those words effective at creating Nazirut? Yes. Did a Baal come along afterwards and cancel the impact? Well, who the heck do I care? I don't care about your husband. He's a nut. I care about the fact that you said the words Hareini Nazira, and I said those same words by saying Va'ani. So what's your problem? Your problem is that currently you're not a Nazira? What do I care currently? If I hold like Rami Bar Choma's Abaye, and I said, well, you know what? We just answered Rami Bar Choma. Ha! Rami Bar Choma has been in a state in which he's been unable to sleep since Nedarim because he never found a clear raya about whether it be Korah Kan Matvis and Betznana Kan Matvis. Well, he owes us one big yasher koach, let me tell you, because we just answered his question. The only way out of a contradiction that we have in the Braitas is by understanding that when a woman says Vani, she's going back to the original statement, irregardless of its current status. Aha! Rami, there's your answer. If a person is looking at a carbon shlamim, and he's saying, I want this piece of meat to be that piece of meat, it's irregardless of current status, and it's basically a description of what was initially, and therefore this is a carbon shlamim, and QED. You can now go to sleep and thank us. Okay? So this is the way that the Rabbeinu Tam understands this piece of the sugya, and he's introduced a beautiful, beautiful further subtlety in the interrelationship of a hatfasa to language as opposed to a hatfasa in status, you see? Because what he's saying is, if that language was in fact valid language, the question of what happened to it or whether it's capable of actually attaining its goal is none of my business. I'm only interested in the language. I don't have this creep for a husband, and therefore that language is enough to be mechayev me. But meanwhile, does it not show that we look at the initial state of the thing, and we're not looking at state at all? And if I said va'ani, so then it doesn't mean anything, the va'ani. Now, the obvious issue is that this is crazy. Because the reason that it's crazy is that in the case of Rami Bar Chama, the current status when the guy said, I want this to be like this, was already cooled down. It was a state in which we now currently have a woman in front, a piece of meat in front of us, which is muteret. Now, if you want to translate that into our issue, you'd have to be talking about a case where the woman already had the hafara of the baal, which is like the shlomim after it already had the heter, and then somebody said, I want to be like you. And therefore, it's not just hafara in language. Otherwise, it's completely irrelevant to Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama was talking about where the shlomim was already muteret. And over here, somebody said vani at the time that it was aser. It's crazy to bring a riot to Rami Bar Chama from there. What's wrong with you? Rami Bar Chama never said, what if a guy said at the moment that somebody said, this should be a shlomim, and he said, this piece of meat also. Did Rami Bar Chama have a shaila that if afterwards that piece of meat becomes a kosher shlomim because it was Zarek Adam, the second piece of meat also becomes kosher because it was like Zarek Adam, even though there was no Zrikas Adam? That's ridiculous. Of course he would never say anything so nonsensical, right? Ha. Huh. So therefore, we have what appears to be nonsense on the part of the Rabbeinu Tam. Says the Ran, Baruch Hashem, we have a little bit of Ran still left, even though this Ran is in the second Shavuos, and it's not on the Gemara directly, it's on the Rif, but says the Ran, you see from here that our entire understanding of Rami Bar Chama has been wrong from the beginning. We had oversimplified Rami Bar Chama because otherwise this Gemara makes zero sense. And what must be the case is unbelievably that what Rami Bar Chama was really saying was something entirely different. He was saying, not that it's just a question of whether you go back to the beginning or you look at now. He was saying, when on the tzad that I'm making it like the shlamim, I would mean that whatever happened to this shlamim should be the status of my meat. Because otherwise, how could we possibly be comparing this case to the case of Rami Bar Chama? And therefore, by saying, Hainu Deboi Rami Bar Chama, says the Ran, the meaning is that the idea of Bikora means that it would be dependent on the situation that happens to this one. Otherwise, the moment that you say Hareni Kemotech, you've already made a Naziris. If something changes, so what? A Naziris Pachas B'Shloshim Yom, right? So what we have to understand is that, this is the reading to you from the Ran. So therefore, what we have to say is that she meant, Hachi Kamra, Kishitehe Muteret Af Ani Ehe Muteret. She's making basically a tznai, inner naziris. I am a nazira so long as you are nazira. And otherwise, I'm not. Which means that the idea over there would be hainu derami bar chama, which means that ha'isha shenadra benazir, and the situation of Rami bar chama on the surface, lo shava legamre, they have nothing in common at all. You must say that actually what it was that Rami bar chama was really saying was something entirely different. And what he's saying is that instead of what appears to be nonsensical, is that even though he said the words, that the difference is whether you go back to the Ikara or you go to the now, that's not what he really meant. And what he really meant was, even if it was le'achar zrikas dami, that if be'ikara kot matvis, even if it was after the zrikas dami, it would be aser. But ein achinami, he was also mesopik. I'm reading to you from the Ron, word for word. Misafke leila rami bar chama, if somebody who was matvis, bipsar zivche shlomim, even if he had been matvis kodem the zrikas dami, which is not the way the Rami bar chama raised this question. But the truth is, says the Ron, that it's clear from here that Rami bar chama meant that afilu hecha ben matvis ben zvichas the zevach shlomim li'achar zrikas domim, if he would have been matvis kodem zrikas domim, he wanted to know imishtarya ahu, if it becomes mutter, whether the thing that he was matvis bay also becomes mutter. Because basically, each one is become completely dependent in the other. And that was the ikar sofik of Rami bar chama. That's the way that I understand it, even though it seems to be a violation of everything that we learned in our Nedarim take on Rami bar chama. There doesn't seem to be any alternative. Now, that's what the Ran holds. The Ran himself brings the Ramban and explains that, look, we're not ready to learn that type of drastic change in the understanding of the entire sugya, and that Lamaisa will have to say that let's first learn what the Gemara does with this initial take on trying to say it's like Rami bar chama. So the first response the Gemara has to this is, what? What's the connection? I don't understand. Me dummy? The cases aren't the same at all. Hasam in Rami bar chama's case, kivan di omar harei alai kipsar zevach shlamim. Look, the guy said this meat of chulin should be on me like basar zevach shlamim. So the halacha over there is that a shlamim, afagav de la'achar shenizrak dama motzi ochel le'bachutz, it would still be called Migdash Kodesh. I mean, you could still call it Zevach Shlamim. So therefore, using the words, I want this to be like this, like a Zevach Shlamim, there's nothing wrong with saying, like a Zevach Shlamim, lachar zrikas damim, which is mutter to be eaten. It's still true that it's like a carbon. But what carbon? A carbon that is mutter to be eaten. Mashenken, in this case, if you're going to tell me that the person has in mind the current status, namely, in its cooled-off state, I love that word, if you're talking about its current status, then there is no current status. There's no vestigial naziris here whatsoever after the husband took off her naziris. So we have no choice but to say that the moment you say, I want to be like you, you have to mean, I want to be like you what? Like you are saying, you want to be a nazira. So therefore, over here, that would be true. But what does that have to do with saying, I want this to be a shlamim? It is a shlamim. You just want to know whether it's the stage of shlamim that's mutter or the stage of shlamim that's aser. But that is irrelevant to the question of the woman's naziris if it's referring to the way she was initially. That's the only way it means anything. Ikri amri, whereas others say, who cares? That's all a lot of talk. But the bottom line is that since what we're talking about over here is not a true hatfasa, but rather a hatfasa in language, then we have to, in order to match up the question of what were you talking about when you said va'ani? So then that word va'ani obviously applies to the original statement, Hareini Nizira Va'ani, Ani Hareini Nizira. So then if that's the case, it means that we understand a person's language as being a reference to the status that is meaningful in that language, in which case it is the same as Rami Bar Choma. So that would be the strange interrelationships of these sugyas. So now that we're saying that Bi'ikara Kamatfis, and therefore even if she said Va'ani after the Hafarat Haba'al, L'chora it should remain Asura. Right? Because if you're saying, this is the problem that Rabbeinu Tam has, if you are ready to say that a Zevach Shlamim, after it's already had Zrikas Hadam, and I say I want this to be like this, the din is that it goes all the way back to being a Zevach Shlamim before the Zrikas Hadam. Because I'm not referring to the Tsinana, I'm not referring to the status as things have settled down, I'm referring to the initial statement. And the initial statement, it should be a Zevach Shlamim. So then if that's the case, if a person would be matfis in a woman who was a Nizira, and her husband had already been made for that Nizirut, why wouldn't we also say Bi'ikara Kamatfis? And he's trying now, because here, look what we've done. We've said, the learning of the Hatfasa of the language, according to this last point, that is Rami Bar Choma. Oh, thank you. Okay, so what does that mean it's Rami Bar Choma? That in a case where it's not a Hatfasa in language, but where it's Hatfasa in status, that what the person means is the initial status. Okay, now let's go back to a case where we're not talking about language with the Isha, and a woman says, I want to be like her. And she is currently post the Hafara of the Baal. So she is currently Muteret. So she is currently a Korban Shlamim that is after Zrikas Hadam. So then why don't we say even in that case, that even if it's after the Hafar of the Baal, that insanely, she should still be Asura, because after all, we said according to Rami Bar Choma, Mi'ikara Kamatfis. And therefore, we need one additional polish, says Rabbeinu Tam. And that is, as we said, a shlamim is a shlamim, whether it's in a state of post-Zrikas Hadam or pre-Zrikas Hadam. The words, this should be a shlamim, are perfectly meaningful, and therefore it's understandable that they can go back to the initial state and not to the particular local state of shlamim. But to say that I wish to be like you, when there is no longer even a vestigial memory of Naziris because of the fact that that Naziris has been canceled, that has no impact on reality. It could only be meaningful in terms of the statement, but we're not talking about the statement. We're talking about that fossa in her. So what am I saying? I want to be like you. Okay, how much do you weigh? That's what I weigh. I don't understand what kind of stupid statement is that. I want to be like you. Like you in what sense? You got blonde hair. I got brunette hair. So, okay, I hereby dub thee brunette. What's that ridiculous statement? I want to be like you. So there has to be something that is like you, but there's no Naziris that I'm referring to. Therefore, of course, we can't go back now and reapply Rami Bar Choma to the case in which she actually was not a Nazira. You see? Happy days are here again. Anyway, these are the amazingly subtle interactions of the Gemara in terms of the relationship of our sugya to this whole issue of Rami Bar Choma. Maybe we'll have a chance to review. I just want to finish the daf. And then we go on to the other question of, if you make it dependent in her current status, what would happen then? So suppose, Amrullah, suppose you say Beferish, I want to be not you, but I want to be Be'ikvayeh. I want to go in your footsteps. Now, that raises all of the issues that Parshas Ekev raises. What does Ekev mean? So, as Tosis points out, well, you could have the Nochash's Ekev, in which Atatoshufenu Akev means you'll get him with your heel, so it means at the end of the process. Or it could be Ekev Asher Shema Avraham Lekoli. This misunderstands it. So Ekev Asher Shema Avraham Lekoli would mean going back to the whole path of Avraham Avinu, which would mean the beginning. So what do you mean when you say in your Ekev, which of course will change Be'ikvas of the Mashiach, will change Rabbi Akiva, will change a lot of issues. So what would happen over here? So does she mean, Hareini Be'ikvayach Bekula Milta, I want to follow you in every possible way. And therefore, when you end up being Muteret, because your husband took off your Nazirut, so am I. Oh, Dilma, or is she saying, I want to be in your footsteps in terms of your statement, and I want to be essentially wrapped up in your commitment to become a Nazir. I don't care what happens afterwards. Am I referring to the Ekev or the current Ekev? Tashma. Now, this is going to be, again, a review of principles that we've spoken about earlier. We're talking them out so that we can understand how they apply to every stage of the Mishnah. So in the event that she was Noderet, her husband says, me too, he cannot be Mayfair. Why is me too of a husband different than Be'ikvayich? Basically, a husband saying, I want to be like you is very much honey bunch. We will be in this together. And therefore, that should be Be'ikvayich. And if the din would be that Hareini Be'ikvayich means I'm going back only to your initial statement, why can I not do the hafara for you and my Naziris would still be there? Must be that when you say Va'ani, you mean, and whatever happens to you is what happens to me. And that's why he can't be Mayfair. So then if that's the case, then a woman who would say that, literally Be'ikvayich, would also be Muteret in the event that there was someone who was Mayfair, because there he could be Mayfair. And we know the answer to this already. We've seen it two times before. The answer to this is the problem is that it was the equivalent of Kiyum. When you said me too, honey bunch, you're saying I agree that it's a good idea. Once you did this, it's the full equivalent of saying it's Bekuyam. Once you are Bekayim, you cannot be Mefer. I mean, yeah, obviously, if you went to a Chocham and you were Matir the Kiyam, then you could go ahead and be Mefer. But we're not talking about that, are we? So, imit shela kamato motzi Mefer v'ilolo, and that's, forget about that. Okay. Now, what about the next case in the Mishnah, where he says, Hareini Nazir va'at, and she says, Amen. Then he can still be made for hers, but he can't be made for, it won't have any impact on his, because his existed outside of her response. But the problem is that in the Braita, it says not like that. In the Braita, it says, Hareini Nazir va'at, and she says, Amen. Now, we aren't really sure that it said in this Braita, Hareini Nazir va'at. Maybe what the Braita really said was, Hareini Nazir va'at. Now, that's a completely different thing. And, of course, that will be the solution to whatever appears to be a contradiction. But we assume that the Braisa has a question mark in it, because we figured it would be like the Braisa. So, Hareini Nazir va'at, va'amra, yep. Then the din is, uh-oh, they're both usher. But if she didn't say Amen, neither of them are usher. Oh, my gosh. It's the exact opposite of the Mishnah. Why? Mipnei she'tala nidro b'nidra. He basically was making his neder dependent on her neder. And if he never wanted to be a Nazir, unless Honey Bunch becomes a Nazira with him, the family that prays together stays together, and that Naziris is together is the ultimate staying together. So therefore, what you're saying is that the husband could certainly not be made for his wife's Naziris. They're completely interdependent. How do you understand that in the context of our Mishnah? Says Rabbi Yehuda, well, the Braisa is misleading. I mean, you have to understand by putting in another piece into the Braisa. To me, read that Braisa as he could be made for et shala, v'shalo kayam, and then, basically, after that, if she never said Amen, it's coming to say something else. If she never said Amen, then they're interdependent. No, says Abaya, come on, I have to put in anything into the Braisa. All you need to do is take out the darn question mark, which was never there in the first place, for heaven's sakes. And therefore, there's no contradiction. Afilo tebe kidiktoni, read the Braisa straight out. The difference is that in the Braita, he said, Hareini Nazir ve'at, I am a Nazir with you, right? So then he's linking it. He said, I don't want to be a Nazir without you. He's not saying, I'm a Nazir, what about you? Do you like to be a Nazir too? Well, over there, they're not interdependent. But over here, Skiva de Katoli Nidro Binidra, that is obviously either she agrees, and then he too is a Nazir. Well, obviously, he can't undo the Nazirism. That was the whole point, that he approved in advance. Our mission is talking about a case where there's a question mark. How do we put in the question mark? We add the word my. Umat nitin could go to Amral Hareini Nazir. Va'at. My. Question mark. What's your opinion about this? So he already said he's a Nazir. Now he just wants to know whether she agrees. So that over there, he never said, I recommend it. He just wants to know what her opinion is. Umishumachi mefret shala v'shalor kayam v'hakol sharir v'kayam. Everything now makes perfectly good sense. Our Mishnah finally adds up. And we need a couple of weeks maybe to review all the different cases. But I think finally, holistically, it's starting to ring in your ears the way the Ruach Hashem was mitzalza, like a bell. You know, there's a point at which things start making sense. Okay, everybody, that's excellent. So hopefully, sorry for keeping you so long, but these sugyas, they're just not worth being too quick on, because you're left with nothing, sort of, at the end. They're so complicated. Everybody knows that Nedarim and Nazir are just really, really tough. They haven't gone through the whole series of centuries and centuries of work that have allowed a simple presentation, which is exactly why there's no Rashi. There is no simple presentation. It's a wide open. It's not bitznana. So what we're trying to do is to figure out, what would you do with Nedarim and Nazir after things cooled down? So we're trying to jump ahead by a few centuries and figure, okay, how would people be learning Nazir if it was just like Baba Kama? All right, then. So we'll see you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow with the Lord's grace. Go to